Good evening. Welcome to our evening service here on the 17th of May, 2020, as we continue our journey through the book of Joel. We're walking our way through the minor prophets chronologically, and Joel comes first. And here in chapter 2 of Joel, we continue with this theme of the day of the Lord, which is the theme of Joel. Joel is a book with a lot of prophecy. So I'm just going to read the first two verses, and we're going to walk through the chapter and learn some things together. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So notice it says here in verse 1, sound an alarm. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your kindness and goodness. We pray that you would now use this time in the book of Joel in our hearts to teach us, to grow us. We pray the Holy Spirit would be in control. And Lord, that what's given would be a help to your people. We need your guidance now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, this theme of the coming day of the Lord, which begins at the rapture and pretty much culminates at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to set up his kingdom, is the theme of this book, and it carries on here in chapter 2. But it says sound an alarm. In other words, warn people that it's coming. Sound an alarm. Notice it says, in my holy mountain. God wants us to tell others that the day of the Lord is coming. That the day of the Lord, as it says here in verse 2, is a time of darkness and gloominess. So we have been given a responsibility as God's children to warn people about the coming day of the Lord. God says in Ezekiel 33, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from the error of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. God expects us to warn others and holds us accountable about warning others. Go to Matthew chapter 10, if you would, and verse 28. And God expects us to sound an alarm about the coming day of the Lord. Matthew 10, 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God says we're to fear him. He is the only one that has the power to condemn souls to hell. We need to warn people about hell. We need to warn people about the coming day of the Lord. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to persuade men with the gospel of Jesus Christ that the day of the Lord is at hand, and that they need to be warned, and that they can avoid it if they will but trust in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, very good passage about the servants of the Lord, which is us. Let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge and the truth. Instructing those that oppose themselves. We're to be instructing people that are confused that the day of the Lord is at hand and the solution is also available, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ if they will but trust him as their Savior. So we need to be instructing. We need to be warning. One last verse on this, Jude verse 23. If you would turn there. Jude verse 23, just before the book of Revelation, we find the book of Jude. And it says here, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Pulling them out of the fire. We need to be warning people. It says, save with fear. Are we to be afraid of hell? Absolutely. Are we to be are we to fear the coming day of the Lord? Yes. Does Jesus have the solution through the gospel and his salvation? Absolutely. So we need to sound an alarm. We need to warn people about the day of the Lord. Because it says there in verse 1, for the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord is, for it says there in verse 1, it is nigh at hand. Look at Joel, back in Joel again in chapter 1 this time. We saw this last week. and verse 15. But notice it says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand." And we're told this many times in the Scriptures, that the day of the Lord is close. Over in Joel chapter 3, if you want to turn there, and verse 14, Joel chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near." So the Bible says it's at hand, it cometh, it's near. One other verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 2, talking again about the day of the Lord. New Testament this time, it says here, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." In other words, when people don't expect it. And then we're told in 2 Peter 3:10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So we're to be sounding an alarm about the impending day of the Lord, which begins at the rapture and goes right into the tribulation period, as it says here in verse 2 of Joel chapter 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. The day of the Lord will be a terrible time on earth, a time of judgment, a time of God's wrath, and we're to be sounding an alarm and warning people, as he says here in verse 2, "There hath not been ever the like." And when you read through Revelations chapter 6 through 18, there's never been a time as bad as it will be during the day of the Lord here on earth, when God pours out His wrath upon this earth and upon Israel. So let's move on through the chapter, learn some things. Chapter 2, verse 5, "Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array." So the Bible says that it will be a terrible time, that there will be chariots, there will be strong people in battle, there will even be creatures coming to the earth, some of them out of the bottomless pit. And let's read about those over in Revelation chapter 9. Keep your place here in Joel. But in Revelation chapter 9, which is again talking about the day of the Lord, the 7-year tribulation period, here's some descriptions. Revelation 9, 7. "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men." Imagine how scary of a creature that will be. Verse 9. "And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle." So here we see Joel prophesying of this terrible time, this day of the Lord, and even giving us a few specifics. Let's look at another one, Joel chapter 2, verse 10 this time. It says, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." So God says that even in the heavens there will be signs about the day of the Lord. And we're told this many times in Scripture. Joel chapter 2, verse 31 says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." And then if you would look at back in Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 10, we'll see that this theme is consistent, that there will be signs in the heavens when the day of the Lord comes. Isaiah 13 verse 10 says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Jesus continued this theme. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 24. And as we read here in Joel chapter 2, verse 10, "The sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars shall withdraw their shining." We're seeing that this is a consistent theme about the day of the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 29. The Bible tells us, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." So we see that there would be signs in heaven right at the end of the tribulation about the coming return of Jesus Christ to the earth. We're told in Revelation 8:12 that the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So we see this consistent theme that it will be a terrible time, that it will be a time of wrath and darkness and anger. But also we see that toward the end there will be these signs into the heavens that Jesus is coming to the earth to judge and then to set up his kingdom. So back to our passage, Joel chapter 2, verse 11 this time, the Bible says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" So the Bible says that this will be a time of a war. There will be a war involved, and sure enough, that the Bible teaches us this, as we'll see as we walk through Joel. But this is talking about Jehovah. It says the Lord shall utter his voice. And God, when he says something, it's going to be so. Did you notice there in verse 11, "For he is strong that executeth his word." Now, people have been scoffing about these prophecies of the day of the Lord for a long time, because now it's been 2.5, almost 3,000 years since some of these prophecies were given. And people are scoffing and saying, well, obviously it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. The day of the Lord is at hand. It is coming. And it will be a time of wrath. And if God says it's coming, as it says there in verse 11, he will execute his word. If God said it, it's going to happen. Matthew 5:18 says, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." That's Jesus speaking. So here in Joel 2, verse 11, it says, "For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" Now, last week we looked at some of the descriptive words about this day of the Lord. But here we're given a prophecy that many people will perish during this time of judgment upon the earth. And the scriptures bear this out. And so let's look at it in Matthew 24 and verse 21 this time. Matthew 24 is Jesus' chronology about the coming day of the Lord, which begins with the rapture, which, by the way, there are no signs for the rapture, but there will be plenty of signs after the rapture. Notice chapter 24 and verse 21. The Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." If you study through Revelation, you find that a lot of the earth will die. Go to Revelation chapter 6, and I'll show you this. Remember the tribulation, the day of the Lord, is described Revelation 6 through chapter 18. And so I want us to notice some of the math here. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says, verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And the power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." So right at the beginning of the tribulation, one fourth of the earth is killed. With the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So right at the beginning, one fourth die. Then over in chapter 6, verse 17, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now go to chapter 9, verse 15. "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Now remember, a fourth have already died. So there's only three-fourths left, and now a third of that three-fourths dies. So that's another fourth of the original earth. So now half of the original remaining inhabitants of the earth have died by chapter 9. One half of the world. Let's say at the time of the rapture, we don't know when it'll be, but let's say there's 8 billion people on the earth. Imagine 4 billion people dying in the first year of the tribulation. That will be a horrible time. And then if you go to Zechariah 13, another prophecy about who can abide it, we'll see Zechariah also a book with a lot of prophecy and some of it about the coming day of the Lord. But notice Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 8, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein." So it looks like by the end of the tribulation, two-thirds of the world will die. If it's whatever, 8 billion people, that's over 5 billion people. Imagine. And that's what God means when he says here in Joel chapter 2, "The day of the Lord is great and very terrible." who can abide it? And last week we looked at some of the other ways that God describes it as wrath and darkness and death. That is how God describes the coming day of the Lord. It will be a terrible time. Who can abide it? Well, we don't know who will live and who will die, but we know that billions, literally billions, will die during the tribulation period. What does that mean for you and for me? Well, it means that we should, yes, be knowledgeable about it. We won't be here if we're born again. Because what begins this time is us leaving, God removing the church, removing that restraining influence of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. We'll be removed. We won't be here, but we need to be sounding an alarm. That's the point of Joel chapter 2. The day of the Lord is at hand. Yes, sound an alarm. Tell people, warn them that our God is, yes, He's a God of love. Hallelujah. But He's also a God of justice. And sin must be punished. And God will punish the earth again, like He did at the flood. This time, with the tribulation period, it will be a horrible time. And the good news is that you and I, and whoever will trust Jesus Christ as Savior, after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be rescued from this. Will not have to face it. That is what we need to tell people. We need to sound an alarm and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back. He's going to come the first time to the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. When He comes the second time, He's going to come with a two-edged sword, like we looked back last week in Revelation chapter 19, with which He's going to judge the nations. And that's, by the way, after over two-thirds of the earth have already died. Jesus will return to the earth and execute His judgment upon the earth. So God encourages us to sound an alarm. And all of us need to take this to heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, turn there. We'll finish there this evening. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This time is dispensationally a time of judgment upon Israel. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's Daniel's 70th week, which we'll talk more about. We haven't been appointed under this time of wrath. We've been rescued not only from hell, not only from the consequences of our sin, but we've even been rescued from this time of wrath upon the earth. We'll be taken away beforehand, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. We will be removed, and that will trigger the beginning of the day of the Lord. We've not been appointed to wrath. Sound an alarm. Tell people, judgment is coming. And the judge will pour out His wrath upon this earth. It will be a time, a terrible time, as we're told in Scripture. A time when over two-thirds of the earth will die. We have the answer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sound alarm, tell people, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, He offers eternal life to those who will trust Him. And whoever trusts Him is not appointed under wrath and can escape this. So, Joel chapter 2, what can we take away from it this evening? Sound an alarm. Warn people about the coming day of the Lord. It's described for us all through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, but it's consistently described as a terrible time of wrath, which can be avoided by trusting Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for encouraging us from Joel. And Lord, may we realize that the day of the Lord is at hand. May we be ready for it. May we prepare for it. May we also warn others by sounding an alarm and telling them about the coming day of the Lord and that Jesus Christ died and rose again so that they won't have to face it. So thank You, and use us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. God bless.